Isaiah 53. The prophet in the close of the former chapter, in chapter 52, has foreseen and foretold the kind reception that the gospel is going to get from the Gentiles. And the nations, their kings, should bid it welcome to the about the Lord Jesus Christ. That those who had not seen him should believe in him, and those they had not had any prophecy among them of the gospel of grace, which might raise their expectation and dispose them to entertain it. Yet upon the first notice of it, they did not give much weight to it in consideration. It's an incredible thing when you read the scriptures that for years and years and years, for thousands of years, the Gentiles had no opportunity. We had no opportunity to come to Christ. It was the Jewish people, Israelis that had all the information. The Bible that we have is written by Israel's people. Not Gentiles, but Israel's. And God had given and given to Abraham and given that covenant that would pass through and gave the king of Israel and on and on. But it came to the point where the children of Israel had just backed off. They didn't want nothing to do with it. You know, that's a sad, sad epitaph of life when a man has been given so much and then they reject it. I want you to, first of all, see in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 1, I want you to see the contempt that they have the gospel of Jesus Christ. Of course, this is all prophecy, and Isaiah is writing all this. But you see a great contempt. He says, the unbelief of the Jews in our Savior's time is seemingly said to be fulfilled by these words. And even John wrote about this in John chapter 12, verse 38. It says, that the saying of Isaiah, the prophet, might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? John wrote that, and he said, boy, this is what John was seeing and how that he was walking with Christ. Remember, Peter, James, and John, they were the majority of the learned men, or the men that God really gave great insight to through Jesus Christ. And they were with Christ at all times. The Mount of Transfiguration and many other times, Peter, James, and John, you hear about them. And after John had seen this, he writes in John chapter 12, he says, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, the Lord, who hath believed our report, and whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? We see this today. We see a lot of people that have heard about Jesus Christ. We see our churches that are years ago were filled with men and women and boys and girls, teenagers that believed the Word of God. They really believed that God was with them, that God was always with them, but now it's waning off. I read a statistic the other day, 57% of the churches today, and that's not just Baptists, of course, fundamental Baptists, but they say 57% don't even believe in a literal hell anymore. So they have been indoctrinated by humanism. Humanism says, you know, whatever it will be, you know, and they just think that, well, you know, we're here for our own purpose, and you know, this spiritual stuff is just, it's really not important anymore, and going to church isn't any important anymore, and being faithful to the local church, and being faithful to reading your Bible, being faithful to pray to the Lord God, it doesn't mean anything anymore. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, it does. And just like Isaiah said, hey, there's a time coming that people are just going to, they will not believe our report. And it was a very upsetting thing to John as he writes this. And also, we can apply that to a little success of the apostles' preaching. The Bible said in Romans chapter 10, verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who have believed our report. Over there, Paul wrote there at Romans. Now, first of all, of the many that hear the report of the gospel, there are very few that believe it. Very few believe it. I don't know about you, but I try to tell people about Jesus all the time, and there's a lot of people out there that just don't want to hear it. Yeah, I'm a Christian. Well, can you tell me when the time that you became a Christian? I've always been a Christian. Well, my mom and daddy, we were brought up as Christians. Well, when is there a personal time that you came before a holy God and you confessed your sins and asked Him to forgive your sins? Come in here. Well, I do that every day. But they live. Their life shows me, you know, the Bible says, by their fruits you shall know it. You know, I see people that call themselves Christians and they hardly step into the church. The Bible does say, Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves, the manner of some is, but exhorting one another is so much more to see the day approaching. The scripture says that in the day of the approaching that God's people are going to be gone. And Jesus says, when I come, shall I find faith? So why should this surprise us when we see people who at one time were, boy, they're there at church, and one time they're there at this, and they're there, and they never missed anything, and all of a sudden they start dwindling off. Well, what's so surprising? It's the last days. And the last days are coming to that. And I would, personally, myself, I would check that, and I'd say, you know what, how am I doing? How am I doing in my Christian life? How am I doing in my serving of God? Because I see this. Isaiah, clear back on Isaiah 53, is writing it. This is a couple thousand years ago. Many that hear the gospel, few accept it. It is reported openly and publicly, not whispered in corners, but or confined in schools, but proclaimed to all. People are hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it is so faithful a saying, and we worthy of acceptation that one would think it should be universally accepted and believed. I can't understand why someone would not accept Christ as personal Savior. It overwhelmed me. It boggles my mind. I'm just going to say, why wouldn't you want this? If you died today, you know for sure if you go to heaven. Secondly, if you died today, your children to know because you've told them about Jesus Christ. They nonchalantly say, yeah, it's okay. You know that Christian stuff. It's a crutch. It's just a crutch. I'm going to tell you something. It may be a crutch to them, but I'll tell you what, it's life to me. And it should be life to you. Your desire to serve God and with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Why shouldn't we be so desired? The Bible says that this body is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. Boy, how in the world can we walk away from the things that God has given to us? But it's just blasé anymore. I see it as, you know, when I started pastoring 47 years ago, I have seen a great change. I've seen a great change in the mood of people and the lives of people of this world. I'm not talking about here. I'm just talking about the difference. The difference. Boy, I'll tell you what, when I started pastoring, they never missed a service. And boy, they were faithful. And I mean to tell you, we'd have to tell them to go home when they were sick. I mean, that's how it is, you know. Now we got a hangnail or a cough a little bit. We don't come to church. People should receive Christ as Savior. It's quite otherwise, though. Few believe the prophets who spoke before Christ. That's just what Grandpa said. Well, that's just what Grandma said. He spoke about Christ. When he came to himself, none of the rulers nor the Pharisees followed him. When he came here, you would think the religious people of that day would say, hey, it's him. What happened when the wise men came from the east? And they came to Jerusalem and they said to the king, they said, hey, where is he that's born king of the Jews? And they went, I don't know. Let's ask the priests and the Pharisees and let's get him in the scribes. And they told him, said, well, according to the scriptures, He's born in Bethlehem. And I don't know about you, but if I was expecting guests from heaven, and I was expecting, and my forefathers and my grandparents and my parents were telling me about Messiah, Yeshua Messiah. He was supposed to come. And I got these dudes coming to me in their camels or whatever they rode in, amen, and said, hey, where's he born? We've seen his star. And we've come to worship him. The king says, well, I don't know. Let's ask the scribes. And the scribes say, he's born in Bethlehem of Judea. I would think, I would hope, that if I was a scribe that knew the letter of the law and knew it perfectly, where I could quote it verbatim, and I heard that someone has come and said they've seen the star in the east, and we have come to worship him, I would hope, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I would hope that I would be the first one out the door going run down 5 miles to Bethlehem and find out what is happening down here. Is that stupid? Or is that ignorant of me to feel that way? Don't you think that I'd want to go see what has been prophesied for thousands of years that he has come? The Bible says that the wise men left and the star stood over the place where he lay, and that was the house that he was at. They went in and gave him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I don't read any place in the Bible that the scribes came. Well, the doctors of the law, the Pharisees, I don't see anywhere they came. Isn't that kind of strange? You know, Satan has his way of blinding us. Satan has his way of blinding you and me, even as we walk this life together here on planet Earth, even in 2015, going into 2016. Things that have been said so many times lose their shine or lose their brilliance, or they lose their power because you've heard it over and over and over again. You've heard preachers say, hey, the Bible says in the last days there'll be wars and rumors of wars and troubles and pestilence and famine and on. You know, you've heard it preached. But now we're getting to the point where we say, well, they've said that before. It's not as shiny and brilliant and pretty as it used to be. Que sera, sera, whatever will be. And we go on in life. Let me answer this. If you really, 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 really believed in hell, I would suspect that you'd tell your family and tell your neighbors and even your enemies, there's a God that came to this earth to die on the cross so that you could go to free to heaven if you really believed in hell. If you really believed in hell, you would never, ever think of missing a service here and your neighbor watching you pull out of the driveway, and every Sunday and every Wednesday, every Sunday night you're pulling out and says, hey, what in the world are those people doing? Well, they're going to church. They're kind of screwy people. They're different kind of people. They're always talking about Jesus. They're always talking about Jesus loves them. And always talking about Jesus loves them. Man, it kind of gets me. I'll tell you what, one of these days, they're going to wake up in hell, and they're going to say, boy, I wish you'd told me one more time. If hell is really real, if you really believe that the Lord's coming back soon, you never miss a service. God is watching us. Do you believe in God? You really believe God knows what you're doing? You really believe that God, you say, oh, preacher, I hear you all the time. He knows your thoughts afar off. He knows what you're going to think before you even say it. Preacher, I hear you say, read your Bible, read your Bible, read your Bible. Jesus is coming. I got that. But hey, you know, it's getting plausible anymore. Hey, you know what? May I encourage you? Sometimes it's not easy to get here. Sometimes things do happen in our lives that make it very difficult to be faithful. I always say, if I'm always late, then that means I need to change something. I can understand, but Lord, this morning it was kind of interesting at house. And I come in here, brother, I tell you, I came right in at 9:45. Sunday school teacher's supposed to be here at what time? I told Marcia, I said, we got to get going. I said, Sunday school teachers, and I'm a Sunday school teacher. I'm supposed to be in my day. What in the world? Ah! And a stupid camper got in front of me coming here. I would have been here at 9:43. But I was late. Driving me up a wall. Oh, yes. To this day, of the many that possess that they believe this report in the Word of God, there are few that cordially embrace it and submit to the power of it. Therefore, people believe not the report of the gospel. Because the arm of the Lord is not revealed to them, they do not discern, nor will be brought to knowledge of the divine power which goes along with the Word. How many people, how many times you went to the Word of God and you start reading it and all of a sudden you realize, hey, this is a spiritual book and I need to have spiritual power to read this book, and so therefore I must enable the Holy Spirit of God and say, dear God, Holy Spirit, show me in this book what I need today. I can read anything. But boy, when I'm reading this old book here, I need the Holy Spirit's power to discern when I'm reading that book so that I may apply this to my life. The arm of the Lord is made bare, the Bible says in Isaiah 52:10, in the miracle that were wrought to confirm Christ's doctrine, in the wonderful success in it, that it's an energy upon the conscience. Though it may be a still small voice, it's still a strong one. God, teach me that I would not be like the scribes and the Pharisees and the doctors of the law who heard about Jesus being born in Bethlehem and I didn't go there. Help me to go. Help me to, you know, rouse me out. Get me going. But they do not perceive it, nor do they experience in themselves the working of the Spirit which makes the Word effectual. They didn't get it. I want to get it. I don't want to go through this life and miss it. Wouldn't it be a terrible thing if God had just the perfect wife for you and you missed her? You almost did. Wouldn't it be a terrible thing to miss that perfect husband that God had for you but missed it? Wouldn't it be a terrible thing that you had the opportunity to go something and do something for God and you kind of backed away and you missed it? Wouldn't it be a terrible thing that there was something that God had invented you for? And you didn't do it. And God had used something that was inferior to you to get the job done that you were supposed to do, and you missed that blessing, I think of those scribes, I think of those doctors of the law who missed the greatest moment of history. And they miss the birth of Jesus Christ. They missed seeing God, the creator of this universe. Isn't it amazing? You know, I look around. This morning I woke up and the sun was just coming up. And oh, it's beautiful. And I looked out my east window and I was looking at it. And I said, wow, that's an incredible thing. What God has made for us. He made that for us. And for the scribes and those doctors of the law missed seeing it. You know what? There's a lot of people miss a lot of things for God. Miss a lot of adventures. And miss a lot of things that God has for them in their life. And they just throw it away for the stupid stuff. Years ago, a family went to Niagara Falls. And at Niagara Falls, there are a lot of things there besides that national monument that we have called the Niagara Falls. And they went to the carnival, and they went to the movie shows, and it was time to leave, and they never saw the Niagara Falls. Time to leave. That's the way it is in the Christian life. God gives us so many opportunities, so many open doors, and we miss. God may give you an opportunity to go on a mission trip. God may give you an opportunity to go in the ministry. God may give you an opportunity to teach a Sunday school class. To hold those little boys and little girls' hearts in your hand. To teach them the magnificent things of the Word of God. And all of a sudden you've become too busy with your carnival shows and your theaters. The little boy, who little girl that didn't get knocked at the door yesterday, invited to come on the bus. They may go to hell because of that. Or their parents may go to hell because you missed it. There's a lot of people that do not believe the gospel because by rebelling against the light they had. There's a lot of people who have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ and they say, no, no! Never again the Holy Spirit visits them. That's a scary thing. They forfeit the grace of God. And therefore, He justly denied them and withheld from them that they want to believe. And they didn't want it at that time. Some of you are going down some pretty rough roads. Roads that have never been traveled before. Places you've never seen and places that really scare you. What God calls faith, to step into something you don't know anything about. To remember that God will never leave you nor forsake you. He will not let anything happen to you you cannot withstand. And when those things that do come, you can cast all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you, but I don't have time for that. I wonder what those scribes and Pharisees are thinking right now in hell. They missed the birth of Jesus. I wonder what they're thinking of right now. Today our minds are going so fast we don't have time to think of much. But I wish you'd just slow down for a moment and think of the times that you have may missed. And saying today, say, you know what? For me and my house, We will serve God. I'm sick and tired of missing out. I'm sick and tired of missing out some of the greatest things that ever happened in my life. It could have happened in my life. I want to tell you something. The time clock that you have in your body, it's ticking. One of these days, the clock is going to stop. And you're going to miss some of the greatest adventures that God ever prepared for you because you thought that you wanted to do something else. Or you thought that you couldn't do it. Or you thought it was too hard. What a pity it is that such rich grace should be received in vain. That precious souls should perish. I think of Jesus when he was at the pool of there, and a man said, "Well, nobody helped me to get down." And he missed for years. But then Jesus met him. Hey, you know what? Let me tell you something about God. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You may have made a wreck of your life. You may have taken other people with you. And things in life just have not been the way that you expected them to be. Well, let me tell you something about God's grace. He renews it every morning. And the things that you missed, hey, you say, "But I'm old." No, you're not too old. You still got breath. Still got chance to do and do what God wants you to do. Just don't keep going in the blind way. Get in and do something for God. Say, "You know what? What God has done for me, there's a lesson in this scripture here that's teaching me that, hey, though I have forgot Him, and though I have walked away from Him, and though I have not kept the things that God has told me to, bless God, from this day on, I'm going to serve God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind. I'm going to take every advantage that God has given to me, and I'm going to use it." And all God's people ought to say. Harry Ironside told his story, and I close with this, of a young man who was a soldier in the Russian army. Because his dad was a friend of the Tsar Nicholas I, the young man had been given a rather responsible post, which he should not have had, but he had it. He became the paymaster of one of the barracks at the Russian army. And he was responsible to see that the right amount of money was distributed each month to each soldier. The young man meant well, but his character did not have much responsibility. And he liked to gamble. Eventually, he gambled away the great deal of the government's money as well as his own. And in due course, the young man received notice that a representative of the Tsar was coming to check the accounts. And he knew he was in trouble. That evening, he got out the books and totaled up the funds that he owed. Then he went to the safe and got his own pitiful small amount of his own money. And he sat there and looked at the two. He was overwhelmed at the astronomical debt that he had. He was ruined. He was disgraced. He disgraced his father. At last, the young man determined to take his life. He pulled out his revolver and placed it on the table before him and wrote a summation of his misdeeds. At the bottom of that ledger that he had totaled up, his illegal borrowing, he wrote, "A great debt, who can pay?" He decided at the stroke of midnight that he would die. As the evening wore on, the young soldier grew drowsy and eventually fell asleep. That night, Tsar Nicholas I was sometime his custom of making rounds in particular barracks. And he himself, seeing a light, he stopped in, looked in, saw the young man asleep. He recognized him immediately. Looking over his shoulder, he saw the ledger book. and realize what had taken place. He was about to waken him and put him under arrest when his eyes fastened on the young man's message, a great debt. A great debt, who can pay? Suddenly, with a great surge of generosity, the czar, overlooking the injury or assaults, raising above pettiness, he reached over, took the writing instrument, and wrote one word at the bottom of the ledger and slipped out. The young man was sleeping fitfully. He woke up suddenly in the middle of the night, glanced at the clock, and realized it was long after midnight, and reached for his revolver to shoot himself. But as he did, so did his eyes fell on the ledger. He saw something that was not there before. The writing was a great debt. Who to pay? But underneath the word, the czar had written Nicholas. He was dumbfounded. He did not understand how it could have been there. There must be some mistake. He went to the safe where materials were bore the signature of the czar on the file. And sure enough, it was the czar's signature. He said to himself, the czar must have come in while I was asleep. He had saw the books. He knows all. Still, he's willing to forgive me. The young soldier then rested on the word of the czar. And the next morning, a messenger came from the palace with exactly the amount needed to pay the soldiers. Only the czar could pay that. And the czar did pay that. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the same way with Lord Jesus Christ. We are unable to pay the debt, but Christ can. You may be sitting here today and you have a debt of your sins. You've never come to the point in your life, I mean seriously, come to the point in your life you say, I'm done. I cannot pay. You have a choice today. You have a choice of crying out to Jesus, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And He'll save you right now, right here, right in this spot. You may be here today and you're a Christian. And at one time you were just in fire for God. And that fire has become down to a little smolder. Let me tell you something. Jesus will forgive you right now. Say, dear God, seems like my life has been a failure lately. And Jesus will remind you of 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You say, but preacher, that sounds so simple. I need to pay some penance. I need to do this. No, God said, I'll forgive you. He said, I am just. I'll forgive you of everything. All you have to do is just come to me and repent, and I'll forgive you. Ladies and gentlemen, God's looking for some people that would not stay in Jerusalem, that would go to Bethlehem to find the Christ. He's looking for Christians like you. He's looking for people like you that are not sure you're saved. You're not sure that you have a home in heaven. You say, but preacher, you don't understand. Hey, look at this. If the czar, Nicholas, can forgive this kid of his stupidity, what do you think God is? Who do you think God is? Your choice is yours. Because God has made us a free will. You have a choice to serve Him. You have a choice not to serve Him. You have a choice to obey what He tells you to do or not obey what He tells you to do. There's always consequences for what you do. You do right, God bless you. You do wrong, God will chastise you. I don't know about you, but I have never liked a good whooping. But I will tell you, God loves you so much that He gave Himself for you, and if you're His, He's going to call you accountable to it. Maybe not today. You remember the story of Jezebel? 38 years! 38 years! From the time that God said, I'm gonna take care of you, 38 years. God gave her. God's mercy was 38 years. But he got her. Choice is yours. Choice, love. Choice is yours. What will you do with Jesus? Father, I